Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, today we continue our ongoing prophetic study of Israel, the super sign of the end times. And I believe this is part four of this long-standing series, a very important series because, as I have said before, Israel is the hands on God's prophetic time clock to indicate where we are on His end time program for man. Israel is a sign to show us that we are indeed near the return of the Messiah, specifically the sign of the Jews being restored to their ancient homeland, Israel, which was foretold long ago in the Scriptures. Yes, even by Moses, some 3,500 years ago. Well, today I want to continue with our study. Last time, we looked at a prophecy in Hosea chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And in this prophecy, we have Israel's scattered state and condition accurately described during the long worldwide dispersion of their nation that has now existed between the first and second advent of the Messiah, Jesus. And so I want to give a closer look at this prophecy in Hosea 3. Hosea says in chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, this: "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or teraphim." Now let's look at this more closely. As I told you last time, Hosea's prediction of Israel's scattered state here would occur and leave them with no prince or king. And of course, a legitimate king of Israel would have to come through the lineage of David, as God foretold to David when he made an everlasting covenant with him. Psalm 89 gives that covenant in detail, among other places in the Old Testament. So Israel would, in their scattered state, be without a king, a royal successor to David's throne. And that has been true. The throne of David has been vacant of a lineal successor since 586 BC to this very day. And I told you that the Bible tells us this will remain so until the return of Jesus, the son of David, who will sit on the Davidic throne after a long period of absence, Luke 1, 32 and 33. And then when the second temple was destroyed in 70 AD, Israel then was without a priesthood. And that has lasted to this day. And also notice here in this prophecy in Hosea 3 that the prophet says that Israel would no longer they would be without sacred pillar. What does that mean, sacred pillar? Well, we learn from the Old Testament, specifically in Exodus 34, 13 and 14, and Deuteronomy 7, verse 5, that the sacred pillar was commonly used to worship the false gods of Canaan. Hosea also tells us that the children of Israel would be without the ephod. Remember, the ephod was part of the special dress the high priest of Israel wore, and this apparatus gave divine guidance and direction to Israel. Leviticus 8:7 and 1 Samuel 23:9 through 11 and 30 verses 7 and 8. Those scripture passages tell us that the kings of Israel looked to the priestly ephod for God's will on a matter. And so we see here then that Israel would be scattered throughout the world without centralized or spiritual leadership and guidance from God provided to the high priest for the nation. In addition to that, the Jews would be free from idolatry and the worship of idols or the teraphim while in a scattered state. They would be free from these things during the diaspora. The teraphim images in ancient Israel were household idols used for objects of worship and the forbidden practice of divination. If you want to see how the teraphim was used in this manner, I would suggest you look at Genesis 31, verse 19, Genesis 30 and 32, Judges 18, verse 17, and chapter 24. When one closely examines the prophecy of Hosea about the condition of Israel's dispersion in their past, present, and future, one cannot help but agree with the comments of C.I. Scofield on this same passage of prophetic scripture. He observes, "This prediction has been remarkably fulfilled in the condition of Israel since the time of Christ. Scattered without political entity, under a king or a prince, and performing no sacrifices since the destruction of the temple by the Romans in AD 70, they have yet retained their identity and avoided idolatrous worship of sacred stones or idols." Chapter 3 is one of the classic Old Testament passages describing Israel's past, present, and future. It is an amazing prophecy that is currently being fulfilled in Israel's history during the present diaspora. So this is another sign, and remember the theme of this teaching, Israel, the super sign of the end times. The scattered state of Israel is another sign of the truthfulness of God's Word and the divine origin of Scripture, because it tells us that God, being omniscient, knowing the future with 100% accuracy, foretold Israel's future from the time of their inception. This is a compelling argument and evidence for the Bible being the Word of God, that is Israel's history, foretold by God, past, present, and future, serves as compelling evidence and a convincing argument that the Bible indeed is authored by an omniscient God. Amen. Well, the scattering of the Jewish people from the land of Israel throughout the nations of the world was a result, we are told from the Word of God, of their disobedience to God's law and their rejection of the Messiah. The first dispersion, as we mentioned in prior sessions on this subject, was the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity, 721 and 586 BC, respectively. The reason for this scattering, as unanimously witnessed by the prophets, was Israel's gross idolatry and apostasy from the Lord. We learn this in Jeremiah 7, Jeremiah 9, Isaiah chapters 1 through 6, Ezekiel chapters 8 through 11, et al. The second dispersion occurred for Israel's rejection and mistreatment of the Messiah, who came to redeem them and offer the Messianic kingdom. And as you know, they rejected the Lord Jesus outright, the majority of the Jewish people at that time in the land rejected Jesus' claims of being the Messiah and refused the offer of the Messianic kingdom. Jesus gave a specific prophecy about the second dispersion, as a matter of fact, in Luke 19, 41 through 44. And I'm going to read this to you. Jesus is facing the last week of his life on earth. And as he is given a triumphant welcome into Jerusalem with palm branches and accolades of him being the Messianic and Davidic king come to bring the kingdom to Israel, he weeps because he knows that such jubilation is short-lived, that the very same people crying Hosanna to the Son of David will some 4 to 5 days later be the same ones to cry out for his death when they said, crucify him. And so here's what Jesus said as he drew near the city of Jerusalem. In fact, today, you can walk down that same path that Jesus took when he, during the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And there is a chapel near that pathway called Dominus Flevit, which is Latin for the Lord wept, and it is there to mark this event, the event of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So as Jesus was going into the city, he weeps knowing what they were going to do to him. Luke 19, starting in verse 41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will leave in you not one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. This is a somber prophecy, foretelling that Israel would reject the Messiah, and shortly thereafter, their enemies would come in, level the city, raise the temple, and they would be taken captive to all nations. And of course, this happened to the letter when the Romans laid siege to the city of Jerusalem, roughly around 66 AD, and then they completely destroyed it in 70 AD, killing almost 2 million Jews in the process, and removing the rest, selling them into slavery, and scattering the Jewish people from their land. And this was because, as we learn here in Luke 19, 41 through 44, it was because they rejected the messianic claims of Jesus and his offer of the kingdom. All they had to do to receive the kingdom was to repent of their sin and turn to Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But as Jesus said, they would not. Indeed, it is tragic. But remember, in the beginning of their national history, God foretold that all these things would happen to Israel. As a warning, he spoke these warnings, these prophetic warnings, through Moses right before the people of Israel were to enter in the promised land. In Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy chapters 28 through 32, Israel's covenantal obligations as the chosen nation of God are spelled out by the Lord. The blessings that would accrue to their obedience are listed, and conversely, the curses that would fall on them if they chose to walk contrary to the Lord and not obey Him were clearly spelled out to the nation, so they were without excuse. Now, a cursory reading of these pivotal chapters at once reveals a precise and accurate prophetic portrait of the history of the Jewish people that has been fulfilled to the letter for the last 3,500 years. God said in Leviticus 26, 33 and 39, I will scatter you among the nations and draw a sword after you. So then this scattering of Israel to all the Gentile nations of the world would serve as a sign for all to see God's reproach and displeasure for their disobedience to Him. God says in Deuteronomy 28, 46, God says this to Israel, about Israel, and they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and on your descendants forever. And so history would mark forever that the scattering of the Jewish people, the diaspora comprised of both dispersions, would be a sign. What kind of a sign? A sign that if you disobey God, you will suffer the punitive consequences for it. Israel is an example for every person in all nations that if you obey God, adhere to His word, you will be blessed. But if you disobey God and cast His word aside, you will be cursed. Lest my listeners think that what I'm saying is too harsh, I remind them that the Kiddush, which is the standard daily prayer book used by Orthodox Jews in synagogues all over the world, the Kiddush offers the following penitential prayer said by Jewish people. The prayer goes like this: cause us to return with perfect repentance to Thy presence. Pardon and forgive all our iniquities. Blot out and remove our transgressions and sins from Thy sight. Nullify the evil of the sentence decreed against us. So even they admit that they have fallen short of God's standard, and as a result they have been punished for it, and they ask for forgiveness and restoration. And my friend, that has already come when the Jewish Messiah came to redeem Israel, to pardon them of their iniquities by taking their sins and the sins of the world upon Himself. Now in our day, with the recent partial restoration and regathering of the Jewish people back to Israel, God is undoubtedly in the process of answering this very prayer from the Kiddush. Throughout the long diaspora, God promised that He would preserve the Jewish people as a distinct people among the Gentile nations, so that, by and large, they would not be assimilated or be exterminated by them. The Lord says to Israel in Jeremiah 30:11 and Ezekiel 6:8, "For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you. But I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. Yet I will leave a remnant so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered through the countries." Notice in this prophecy here that God says that He will make an end of all nations. That means every single Gentile nation that has come into existence will have an end, except for Israel. And that includes the United States of America, another Gentile nation. God has predestined their beginning, their rise to power, and also their end, as with all other Gentile nations. The only nation, ethnic nation, guaranteed eternal existence is the nation of Israel. The Assyrians, Babylonians, and the Romans all invaded Israel and conquered the Jews and subsequently led them captive away from the land to be scattered throughout the nations. So this prophecy that I just read you has been fulfilled throughout history. since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. After the dispersion of 70 AD, the Jewish people were to live without a homeland for almost 2,000 years. All throughout that time, we know that they only survived in small numbers, in isolated, scattered communities, just as God foretold here in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Their numbers greatly dwindled when they were hunted down and killed by the scores during the Crusades, the Inquisition, the Russian pogroms, and the greatest of all numbers killed in the horrific Nazi Holocaust. You know, this is precisely why most Jewish people do not accept Jesus as the Messiah. Because those very people who claim to follow Him instigated and carried out these violent campaigns and atrocities against the chosen people. Sadly, in this, the tragic prophecy of Jesus in John 16:2 has been fulfilled in one way or another through the form of anti-Semitism in the church. Jesus foretold to His Jewish disciples, "The time is coming that whoever kills you will think he offers God service." The time is coming, He said, that whoever kills you will think he offers God's service. The enemies of the Jews slanderously did so and blasphemously did so in the name of their Messiah and our Messiah, Jesus Christ. A sin the Christian church has all been too guilty of throughout the centuries. On this point, I like what Messianic Jewish author Barry Rubin says here. He says that the Gentile name, Jesus Christ, means to the average Jew a person who conducted the Crusades, invoked the Inquisition, and prompted persecution of Jews over the last 20 centuries. To a Jewish person, Christ is the first part of the term used by those who accuse Jews of deicide, Christ killers. And that's why when you witness to a Jewish person, you need to use the name of Jesus in the Hebrew, Yeshua. Because when the average Jewish person hears the name Jesus Christ, he thinks of those people who came to persecute and slander them, the people who came in the Crusades, the people who were involved in the Inquisition. All these people claim to be Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, and so doing, they thought it their duty to persecute and kill Jews for Him. And that is the tragedy of anti-Semitism in the Christian church. Brethren, these things ought not be so. So, up to this point, we have looked at prophecies dealing with Israel's history up to the nation's worldwide dispersion and unbelief. The whole history of the Jewish people was foretold beforehand to them through Moses, the prophets, and the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. We have thus demonstrated that up to this point. We have also discovered that while in this dispersed state, the Jewish people would be without land, kingly ruler, free from the idolatry of the past, and wandering from place to place throughout the Gentile nations of the world. This last condition, aforementioned, was popularized in Europe by the pejorative term, the wandering Jew, in the 13th century. The ugly and brutal fact of anti-Semitism, my friends, is a darker side of Jewish history. And along with the doctrine of hell, I believe is one of the most somber and grave subjects of Bible prophecy. Nevertheless, the God of Israel did indeed predict from the outset of their national history that the Jewish people would be hated, harmed, and persecuted by the Gentile nations of the world during the long period of the diaspora. In fact, in Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68, we read of the prophecy that would outline this terrible time in Jewish history. And there we discover that God would bring judgment on Israel for their disobedience while they were in a scattered state throughout the nations of the world. He tells them in these verses, in Deuteronomy 28:15 through 68, that their cities and farms will fail. There won't be enough to eat. They will produce few children. Their harvests will be small. Their livestock will have few young. Their efforts will be confused. They will suffer terrible diseases with no cure. Fever, swelling, pain, oozing sores, crusty patches on skin and boils would afflict their health. They will be in drought with dust and sandstorms. They will be defeated by their enemies and scattered throughout the world. They will experience psychological breakdowns, blindness, confusion. Their plans for their normal activities will be shattered by persecution and dispersion. Their children will be taken as captives by foreigners. They will be the source of slander and gossip in other nations and lands of the world. And these are the judgments given in Deuteronomy 28:15 through 68 for Israel's disobedience to the Lord. A simple comparison between this passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy 28 and the history of the Jewish people for the last 2,000 years will unquestionably verify these prophecies have been tragically fulfilled as exactly foretold by the Word of God. And by that fact, the Bible is indeed inspired by the omniscient God who foretells history before it comes to pass. This is a somber lesson today. Israel, in their dispersed and persecuted state, serve as a sign that one cannot reject the Word of God without suffering the terrible consequences. My friend, do not turn away from God. It does not pay. And the history of unbelieving Israel is somber and graphic proof of this. But God will not forsake His people. He has promised that at the end of days, the days we are living in, He will regather them. They will repent and turn to the Lord and accept the Messiah King He sent to them long ago. When He returns, they will accept Him as a nation and they will be restored. And the scourge of persecution and dispersion will forever be made extinct when that time comes. Amen. And we will look at those future prophecies in series, in teaching series coming up in our study of Israel, the super sign of the end times. Well, my time is up. The announcer will tell you how you can contact us that you may receive our bi-monthly newsletter. And please, we ask for your financial support that these radio teachings can continue and our outreach to Israel can continue as well. Shalom Aleichem Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.